This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback to a colleague who takes everything personally. A practical system for delivering feedback without defensiveness or damage. In short, after reading this, you will know exactly how to give feedback to a colleague who takes everything personally, using a clear, step-by-step process that reduces defensiveness and keeps the relationship intact. Prepare your words carefully before the conversation, not during it. Focus on specific behaviours and their impact, never on personality. Give the person space to respond and hold steady when they do. Definition: giving feedback personally refers to the skill of delivering honest, constructive feedback to a colleague who responds with heightened emotion or defensiveness, using careful preparation, precise language, and a structured approach to ensure the message is heard and acted upon. Why giving feedback to sensitive colleagues is harder than it looks. You already know this conversation matters. The problem is knowing that does not make it any easier to start. Most people who struggle here are not cruel or cowardly. They care about getting it right, and that very care becomes the obstacle. The gap between understanding that feedback is necessary and actually delivering it well is wide, and crossing it requires more than good intentions. Here is what makes this specific situation so difficult: the fear of causing real harm. When you know someone responds emotionally, there is a genuine worry that your words will damage the relationship or make things worse than they already are. That fear is reasonable, but left unchecked, it leads to silence. The lack of a reliable script. Most people improvise these conversations, which means they either oversoften the message until it disappears or blurt something out too directly and spend the next week managing the fallout. The discomfort of receiving a strong reaction. Even when you say something carefully, a colleague who takes things personally may cry, go quiet, or push back hard. Most people are not prepared for that, and they retreat. The confusion between kindness and honesty. There is a common belief that being kind means holding back. In practice, withholding honest feedback is not kindness. It is avoidance dressed up as consideration. The personal history between you. In long-standing working relationships, old tensions and past misunderstandings can make even a neutral comment feel loaded. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, your intent must be genuine. Ask yourself honestly why you are having this conversation. If the answer is to help the person improve and protect the working relationship, you are on solid ground. If you are frustrated and want to vent, wait. Feedback delivered in anger is not feedback. It is complaint with better vocabulary. This distinction matters because sensitive colleagues read your tone more than your words. Number two, your observation must be specific. Vague feedback, things like you seem difficult to work with, gives a sensitive person nowhere to go except into defensiveness. Before the conversation, identify one specific behaviour, the situation in which it happened, and the concrete impact it had. Tools like the SBI framework, covered in depth in feedback models every manager should know, can help you build this structure reliably. Number three, you must choose the right moment. Timing and setting matter enormously when you give feedback to someone who takes things personally. A public setting, a rushed hallway conversation, or a moment immediately after a setback will almost always backfire. Choose a private, calm moment when neither of you is under immediate pressure. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Prepare your opening line before you walk in. Your opening line sets the tone for everything that follows. And for sensitive colleagues, tone is everything. Most feedback conversations go wrong in the first 30 seconds. The speaker either buries the point in so much reassurance the listener misses it entirely, or jumps straight to the problem so abruptly the listener shuts down before they have heard it. Neither serves you or your colleague. Prepare one clear, specific opening sentence before the conversation begins. Write it down if you need to. Say it aloud at least once so it does not feel foreign when the moment comes. Write your opening sentence using this structure. I want to talk about something specific I observed, because I think it matters for both of us. Avoid leading with "I just wanted to say" or "this is probably nothing," but because these signal that you yourself do not believe what follows is important. Do not open with a compliment designed to soften the blow. Sensitive people sense the but coming and spend the compliment waiting for it. Decide in advance whether you will ask permission to share your observation. For highly sensitive colleagues, "Can I share something I noticed?" gives them a small sense of control. Rehearse the sentence until it sounds natural, not rehearsed. Example, you sit down with your colleague and say, "I want to talk about what happened in the client meeting on Tuesday, specifically around the timeline question. I think there is something worth addressing together." That is it. No apology. No cushioning. A clear, calm signal that you have something specific and constructive to say. Your colleague now knows what this conversation is about. The specificity alone reduces anxiety, because vague dread is always worse than a named thing. Step 2. Lead with the behavior, not the person. This is where most well-meaning feedback falls apart. The moment you describe someone's character rather than their behavior, the conversation becomes a verdict, not a conversation. The distinction is simple but critical. "You are dismissive in meetings" is a character judgment. "In Tuesday's meeting, you interrupted Sarah 3 times while she was presenting the data" is an observable fact. One invites defensiveness. The other invites reflection. When you give constructive feedback without causing tension, the precision of your language is the primary tool. Vague descriptions of personality give a sensitive person nothing to work with except the feeling that they are being judged as a human being. Use the structure. "In situation, I observed specific behavior." Keep it to one behavior per conversation. Remove words that imply motive or character. "Always," "never," "you just don't," "you seem to think." State the impact clearly and factually. "The effect was that Sarah stopped contributing for the rest of the meeting." Stay in the past tense. You are describing something that happened, not something the person is. If you feel yourself drifting into interpretation, pause and return to what you actually saw or heard. When your words describe a behavior rather than a person, you give your colleague something they can actually change. That is the whole point. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. State the impact clearly and without exaggeration. After you have named the behavior, you need to connect it to a real consequence. This is not about making the person feel guilty. It is about helping them understand why the behavior matters beyond the moment. Sensitive colleagues often interpret feedback as personal rejection. Naming the impact, calmly and factually, shifts the conversation from "you're wrong" to "here is what happened as a result." That shift is significant. Understanding emotional intelligence in feedback conversations matters here, because the step requires you to be honest about impact without weaponizing it. State the impact in terms of the work, the team, or the client, not your feelings about the person. Use measured language. "The result was," or "what I noticed afterwards was." Avoid exaggeration. "The whole team was demoralized" is likely overstated. "Sarah seemed reluctant to contribute after that point" is specific and credible. If the impact was significant, say so plainly. Do not minimize it to protect the person's feelings in the moment. End this part of the conversation with a brief pause. Let the information settle before you move on. Example, when the interruptions happened, Sarah stopped offering her analysis for the rest of the meeting. We lost about 20 minutes of useful input that we needed for the proposal. That is the impact I want us to think about together. The person now understands the stakes. You have not attacked them. You have shown them a consequence. Step 4. Invite their perspective before you prescribe a solution. This is the step most people skip, and it is often where the real conversation begins. After you have named the behavior and the impact, stop. Ask a genuine question. Not a rhetorical one designed to make your point again, but a real one that gives your colleague the chance to explain what they experienced. Sensitive colleagues frequently have context you do not have. They may have been reacting to something that happened before the meeting. They may have misread a signal. They may not have realized the impact at all. Inviting their perspective before prescribing a solution communicates respect, and respect is the foundation of any feedback conversation worth having. This is also what turns feedback into genuine peer-to-peer feedback that strengthens team bonds. Ask an open question. "What was your experience of that moment?" Wait in silence after you ask it. Do not fill the silence with reassurance or elaboration. Listen to the answer without preparing your rebuttal. Your job in this moment is to understand, not to win. Acknowledge what you hear before responding. I did not know that. That is helpful context. If they become defensive or upset, name it gently. I can see this is difficult. I want us to work through it together. When a sensitive colleague feels genuinely heard, the temperature of the conversation drops. That is not weakness on your part. It is skill. Step 5. Agree on one concrete next step together. Feedback without a clear path forward is just criticism. The goal of this conversation is not to establish that something went wrong. It is to agree on what happens differently going forward. This step gives the conversation its purpose and gives your colleague something constructive to carry away. It also signals that you're invested in their improvement, not just in documenting a complaint. Building this kind of trust is central to how feedback strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. Ask, what do you think could work differently next time? If they struggle to answer, offer one specific, practical suggestion, not a list. One thing, make the next step concrete: a behavior, a timing, a check-in, not a general intention. Agree on whether you will follow up, and if so, when. Close the conversation by stating what you appreciate about the working relationship. This is not a softening tactic. It is an honest signal that the feedback came from a place of investment, not grievance. Example. You might say, what if, before the next client meeting, we spend 5 minutes together reviewing who will handle the timeline questions? That way, we are both clear going in. Your colleague agrees. You have a concrete plan. The conversation ends with direction, not just discomfort. The feedback is no longer a wound. It is a turning point. Step 6. Hold steady if they respond with emotion. This step is where courage matters most. You can prepare everything else. You cannot always prepare for a colleague who cries, goes silent, or pushes back with anger. The natural instinct is to retreat to soften the message, to apologize for raising it, or to change the subject. Every one of those responses undermines the feedback and, over time, undermines the trust between you. Psychological safety in teams is built precisely through moments like this one, where honest words are delivered with enough steadiness that the other person learns they can trust the messenger. If your colleague becomes emotional, lower your voice and slow your pace. Do not match their energy. Say something simple. Take a moment. I am not going anywhere. Do not retract what you said. You can clarify, but do not withdraw a valid observation because the response is uncomfortable. If the person needs to step away, offer it. We can take a break and come back to this. After the conversation, check in. A brief message the following day shows that the feedback came from care, not criticism. Staying calm when someone else is not is one of the hardest things in workplace communication. It is also one of the most powerful. Step 7. Follow up after the conversation. The feedback conversation is not the end of the process. What happens in the days that follow determines whether the conversation had any real effect. Most people give feedback once, then wait in silence to see if anything changes. That silence can feel like surveillance to a sensitive colleague. A brief, direct follow-up changes that entirely. It signals that the conversation was about growth, not about proving a point. Within 24 to 48 hours, send a short message acknowledging the conversation. I appreciated you hearing me out yesterday. I am here if anything came up for you. Notice and name any positive change you observe, specifically and promptly. I saw how you handled the client questions this morning. That was well done. If the behavior has not changed after a reasonable period, return to the conversation using the same structure. Do not let it build into a larger grievance. Keep a brief note of what was agreed, not as a formal record, but so you can reference it clearly if needed. Ask yourself honestly whether the working environment supports the change you are asking for. Sometimes the barrier is not the person, it is the system around them. The role of emotional intelligence in team environments is relevant here. Your own emotional awareness is just as important as your colleagues. Follow-up is not monitoring. It is investment. There is a difference, and sensitive colleagues feel it. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote working changes the feedback equation in ways that catch people off guard. When you give feedback to a colleague who takes things personally, the absence of a shared physical space removes some of your most useful tools: body language, tone that carries across a room, the small social signals that help people feel safe. On a video call, a colleague who is already sensitive has fewer cues to anchor them, and the screen creates a subtle distance that can make hard words land harder. Delay the feedback slightly. In a remote context, Do not give significant feedback at the end of a video call when the person is about to close their screen, and sit alone with what you said. Schedule a dedicated conversation instead, even a short one. This gives both of you the right setting and the right frame of mind. Turn the camera on, but check first. Video is far better than a phone call for this kind of conversation, because you can read each other's expressions and adjust in real time. However, some sensitive colleagues feel more exposed on camera during a difficult conversation. Ask first, would you prefer this on video or voice? Follow up in writing after the conversation. In a remote setting, a short written summary of what was discussed and agreed serves a different purpose than in a face-to-face environment. It removes ambiguity and gives the other person something concrete to return to rather than relying on memory, shaped by emotion. Build the relationship outside feedback moments. Remote colleagues who only hear from you when something needs to be addressed will begin to associate your name with criticism. Regular, positive contact builds the trust that makes feedback possible. The core process does not change for remote teams, only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: sandwiching the feedback between two compliments until the point disappears. Why it happens? We want to protect the relationship and cushion the blow. What to do instead? Deliver the feedback clearly, then end with a genuine statement of confidence in the person. Do not bury the message. The mistake: apologizing for giving the feedback at all. Why it happens? When someone reacts with emotion, the instinct is to retreat and take responsibility for their discomfort. What to do instead? Acknowledge that the conversation is hard without apologizing for having it. I know this is uncomfortable, is different from I'm sorry for bringing this up. The mistake: giving feedback in the presence of others, even casually. Why it happens? The moment feels right, the issue is fresh, and a quick word seems harmless. What to do instead? Always find a private setting. For sensitive colleagues, an audience transforms feedback into humiliation, regardless of how gently it is phrased. The mistake: listing multiple issues in one conversation. Why it happens? Once you finally have the courage to start, everything that has been building up comes out at once. What to do instead? Limit the conversation to one specific behavior. Multiple issues overwhelm and confirm the person's fear that they are fundamentally the problem. The mistake: giving up after one difficult conversation and never raising the issue again. Why it happens? The emotional cost of the first attempt feels too high to repeat. What to do instead? Accept that some feedback requires more than one conversation. If the behavior matters, return to it calmly and consistently. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each conversation. I have identified one specific behavior, not a pattern or a personality trait. I can name the situation in which the behavior occurred. I can describe the concrete impact the behavior had on the work or the team. I have prepared and rehearsed my opening line. I have chosen a private, calm setting with enough time. My intent is to help the person improve, not to vent or document a grievance. I am prepared to listen to their perspective before offering a solution. I have agreed on one specific next step with the person. I have planned a follow-up within 48 hours. I can hold steady if the person responds with emotion. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a real process for one of the most difficult conversations in any workplace. You know how to prepare, how to frame your words, how to hold steady under pressure, and how to follow up with genuine care. Preparation is not optional when you give feedback personally. Your opening line, your specific observation, and your chosen moment all determine whether the message lands. Focus on behavior and impact, never on character or intent. One observable fact is worth more than a dozen general impressions. Invite your colleague's perspective before you prescribe a solution. What you hear may change what you say next. When they react with emotion, slow down. Do not retreat. Steadiness is not indifference. One concrete next step agreed together is worth more than an hour of analysis. Follow up within 48 hours. Notice and name positive change when you see it. The relationship does not end with a difficult conversation. In most cases, it deepens. For a broader look at the principles underneath this process, what is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy gives essential context for why some colleagues are more sensitive to feedback than others. If you want to strengthen your overall approach emotional intelligence and feedback conversations is the next natural step. And if you're working at team level, peer-to-peer feedback. Strengthening team bonds will show you how these conversations build trust over time. The ability to give feedback personally, with honesty and with care, is one of the most valuable things you can bring to any working relationship. Do not wait until you feel ready. Prepare, then begin. Frequently asked questions. How do you give feedback to a colleague who takes everything personally? Start by preparing your words carefully before the conversation. Focus on specific behaviours and their impact, not personality traits. Choose a private setting, use a calm tone, and give the person space to respond. The goal is clarity, not confrontation. Why does feedback feel like a personal attack to some people? Some people connect their work closely to their sense of identity and self-worth. When that work is criticised, even gently, it can feel like a judgment of who they are. Understanding this helps you frame feedback around actions and outcomes, not character. What is the best way to give feedback personally without causing defensiveness? The most effective way to give feedback personally is to separate behaviour from identity, lead with your observation rather than a judgment, and invite the other person to share their perspective. This keeps the conversation collaborative rather than adversarial. How do you prepare before giving feedback to a sensitive colleague? Write down one specific behaviour you observed, the situation in which it happened, and the concrete impact it had. Rehearse your opening line aloud. Decide on the right time and place, and commit to staying calm if the person reacts with emotion. What should you say if a colleague gets upset during a feedback conversation? Stop speaking and acknowledge what you are seeing. A simple line like, "I can see this is difficult, and I want us to get through it together," can lower the temperature. Do not retract the feedback, but give the person a moment to settle before continuing. How do feedback models like SBI help when giving feedback to sensitive colleagues? Frameworks like SBI, which stands for Situation, Behavior, and Impact, give your feedback a clear structure that removes vague language and personal judgment. When your words are precise and grounded in observable fact, there is less room for the listener to interpret them as an attack. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.